And it was the Kyrie Irving show last night at the TD Garden as he poured in 43 points, dished out 11 assists, and for the first time in his career, after 9 straight wins, Kawhi Leonard actually loses to the Celtics. Entertaining game last night, 123-116, and as we said earlier in the show, if there was ever a key, and I know that sounds silly, it's almost oxymoronic talking about a key November game for the Celtics, that was it. They didn't want to let the Raptors get away too far in the conference. And that was their third straight loss, by the way. Raptors in a little bit of a slump after the
early
good start.
I think they're looking to define who they are or who they're going to be. And meshing Haywood in. And he's getting healthy, played 39 minutes last night. I think that's very, very important. Hey, before we go back to the phones, I wanted to ask you quickly about the lineup shakeup with Minahane officially leaving the morning show and going to radio.com, and Jerry and Mutt, and I don't know who else taking over. What are your thoughts on that?
Interesting that Kirk would come back. I wasn't sure if he was going to come back at all. And he's going to have his own platform. He's going to do exactly what he wants to do. And that was always going to be an ideological rift between he and Jerry. Jerry certainly can talk about a lot of other things. You know, he loves politics. And Kirk was hell-bent on avoiding sports. He thought it was cliche and trite and, you know, anybody could do it. And, you know, he wants to do his own show. He is a unique personality, to say the least. Not only is he unique, he was very successful. I wonder how you measure success on radio.com. It's an app. It's basically a live podcast. I think it's, from 10 to 1, something like that. Apparently, from everything I've heard, and believe me, I don't know anything more than you do. You have more of a inside scoop here at the radio station. You have your little moles and sources. I don't. But from what I hear, you know, just people talking about it on this radio station, he's going to be in the building, I guess one floor up from the regular guys and, you know, doing the regular shows.
Maybe him and Dale can work together.
I doubt that. Well, they did work on weekends, you know, right after us for years before Kirk got the nod. And, you know, highly, highly successful. That morning show around, I think they were number 7 in the morning ratings before Kirk came aboard, and there was a rocky start, and it was a difficult relationship, particularly between he and Dino. Dino kind of pushed out into retirement, but the numbers were huge, and it's going to be interesting to see how the morning show picks up now that we know for sure, at least now, that Kirk is no longer part of it after the 2-month hiatus.
You know, it still doesn't answer, though. The number one question, and I think Joey's certainly pondering this, and he'll be watching the books to see how people are doing. But what do people really want, particularly in a morning show? But I think this station has been billed, as a sports station.
You still haven't got rid of your hiccups?
Can't get rid of them.
This is like 2 hours.
Can't get rid of them.
You're like my wife. Once she gets the hiccups, it's like all day long.
But it billed as a sports station, so I think it'll be important. What do people want in the morning when you're getting in your car and you're fighting the traffic and you're driving in? What do you want?
Well, the traditional, back in the day, in the early days of sports radio, it was determined when FAM went on initially in 1987, they and IP in Philadelphia were the two all-sports stations, the first two all-sports stations. And particularly FAM, they had Greg Gumbel doing a morning show, and they realized very early on talking sports in the morning, at least in those days, was not going to be a big ratings grabber. So they brought Imus in from the old WNBC. They moved the dial from 1050 down to 66. Imus made them in the early years, then Mike and Mad Dog, of course, in the afternoon. So, and then Imus came here as a syndicated host for years and years and years, replacing what I thought was a fantastic morning show right before Imus. But for some reason, in their infinite wisdom, management at WEEI decided to replace that great local morning show with Imus in the morning. That was mine, by the way, Larry.
I
guess you didn't pick up on that.
Believe me, I was trying to be polite.
Yeah. So the conventional wisdom was for years that you could not have a successful morning show that talked exclusively sports on a sports radio station, that you had to expand the topic base talk politics, do lifestyle, do, you know, men's lifestyle things. And the station across the street, generally, you know, they shocked a lot of people. That morning show out of the box back in 2009, much to my surprise, did very well. They talked sports, but they did a lot of other things, and they aimed at a young male demographic. They were highly successful. We had a very good morning show for years and years and years, but up against that other show, they needed to change how they were going to skew the demographic. Kirk comes in and doesn't talk sports, talks a lot of inside shop, a lot about what's going on at the radio station, about the personalities and the infighting and everything else, talks about political stuff, talks about himself, rarely talks about, you know, what happened the night before, and it's successful. So you tell me, what do people want to hear?
See, I want both. I think if I were in here doing it, I think what you do is you know, stick your finger up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. Sometimes it'll be a big sports story, and other times it will be a political issue or something going on that creates massive debate. I think both are good. I think to just do totally one and not the other, I think you're being naive.
But the radio station, based on, again, I have not sat down with anybody in programming. And believe me, we're so far on the periphery. Periphery is a kind word for
where
we are.
They don't even know who you are.
They don't, really. They just say chief when they see me. They have no idea what my name is. And so, you know, I've never sat down and talked to anybody about this. But they believe, and I'm not sure if it's going to work or not, we shall find out, they believe that talking sports in the morning is the way to go. It's a sports radio station. People tune in to 93.7 FM and the stations and in the New England Broadcast Network. They want to hear sports. But the ratings say something else. The ratings say people do want to hear about politics. People do want to hear about infighting at the radio station.
See, I do think when 9/11 happened, unfortunately, the situation that it was, but
That's a complete aberration.
I think the way, I think the way Jerry and John handled that was unbelievable. And I think that kind of cracked the egg and allowed them from time to time to talk about other issues that came along.
Hey, if you remember, this is we were back in this particular studio. Not that our listeners know the difference between what studios we're in. But that was one of the early shows that we did in this building. And if you remember, for three straight weeks, Larry, we were doing Saturdays and Sundays. That's all we talked about was 9/11. The station did 9/11 talk for the entire 3 weeks after 9/11. But that was such an overwhelming. I mean, it's
apologies for that.
And that's the way to go. So it'll be interesting, I think, as, believe me, I'm just as much a listener. I'm more of a listener than I am a broadcaster. It'll be interesting to see how the show fares ratings-wise. I think it's a good show. I like listening to the show. Whether or not it'll have the same
show.
Yeah, and I know the summer book was very good. They were number one in the morning, but Kirk was there for a lot of that. It'll be interesting now that Kirk has officially moved on, if listeners will move on with him or they'll be able to retain or even expand on the numbers.
See, I'm spoiled by Mutt because I really like him with the Red Sox at night and everything. I think he does an incredible job with that. How well that'll fare in the morning, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, he's versatile, that's for sure, and we shall find out. But Kirk Mahan, good luck. We'll probably bump into him every now and again.
I love Dickerson. I wish, you know, we could get him in here on a regular
basis. He's going to be in at 12 noon James.
I think he'd be terrific with Jerry. I really do. But you got to make sure can get him in here.
I guess you and Joey are going to have a little sit-down today after the show.
I'm not the programmer.
Maybe you can promote. Why are you promoting Greg Dickerson? What about me? You know, you've been working together for 23 years.
I believe in real talent.
617-779-7937. I can't wait for Dickerson to come
at
noon.
I can't picture you getting up at this time in the morning. That's all.
I did it for 10 years, Larry. I mean, I did morning radio for years and years. And believe me, I'm not promoting. I don't want any part of it. Believe you me. Let's go to...
You'll be good with Jerry.
Let's go to... Berg, is his name Berg in Everett?
Berg
in Everett, you're next on Sports Radio. Hey, Berg.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We'll try to transition away from, you know, 9/11 and the sports, see if I can help you out with that.
You need that serious.
One second. John, back in the studio, will you put Tom on hold? I hit two callers at the same time. Thank you. All right, go ahead, Berg.
Can you read me?
Yeah, I can read you. Over and out. 10-4, good buddy. 10-4.
Fantastic. Just wanted to say that Sarge sucks in the radio, guys. That's three in a row. Sarge cycle.
All right.
I wish I knew what that was about. Just hang on long enough at least to explain
to us.
What you
if they're calling,
I, we don't know what you if you're going to insult somebody, at least let us know who you're insulting.
Call the other radio station. That's where he works. Tom in New Hampshire, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom.
Hey, guys. Larry and Craig, I enjoy listening to you guys every Saturday as I'm driving around doing my errands, going to the dump and dry cleaning, and I've never thought to call you before because generally, even when I disagree with you guys have pretty good insight on a lot of topics. But this morning, I think I almost drove my truck off the road.
Uh-oh.
When I heard you guys were thinking that either Barnes or Joe Kelly could be our closer going into the season.
All right. Well, you name the closer then. Who are you like?
Well, if Kimbrel's the heart attack closer, those two guys are stroke closers. I've never seen two guys go 0-2 and walk so many guys in my life. I mean, they try to waste a fastball, and it's 5 feet over the batter's head, that you, a pitch you'd never even think about swinging. I mean, granted, Kelly had a great postseason. I don't know where it came from. I was certainly one before the postseason started. Didn't even want him on the postseason roster, but he did pull together 2 weeks of great pitching. But and Kimbrel,
do you want Kimbrel
to decline a little bit?
Do you want Kimbrel to come back?
I do. Maybe not for that money, but if we don't have him – or a closer that's comparable, is going to be a long season. But by Memorial Day, we'll be screaming for somebody because Barnes and Kelly cannot do the job as a closer.
Well, you know, I am not one of these guys that think that the closer is the end-all, be-all. I think you can make a closer. I know sometimes it's psychological and there's a certain mindset, but I think you can find someone in the modern sense of the closer, you know, bases clean, three outs, ninth inning. I think you can find that guy. And I don't think any Red Sox fan is. Are you really lamenting the loss of Craig Kimbrel?
See, I'm not.
No.
I'm not going to lament if we lose him, but we need somebody else to think those one of those other guys is going to take that role is,
right.
I just think, is absurd.
If they don't, if there's some, my feeling is there's someone out there who can do what Craig Kimbrel did. Certainly better than he did this year.
How about Evaldi?
Nah, they want him as a starter. They're going to try to move him back into a starting. As great as he was as a bullpen guy, I don't know if he's a closer. He's got the arm for it, but I think they envision him as a starter. All right, Tom, you can go back to the dump now.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. We're big with people going to the dump. You ever notice that? A lot of people will go to the dump, turn on Mustard and
Especially
Johnson.
When they throw their radio in there.
Yeah, I think that's very metaphorical, very appropriate. When we're the official show of people who go to the dump on Saturday morning. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. And I am just, all these clicks and this computer is driving me crazy today. Let's see if we can get on. John, you're going to have to do it.
Craig's struggling.
No,
his last day in the studio.
Well, you know what it is?
Goes Mustard.
There's an icon that says drop call. Okay. So, okay, now I got it. All right, John in Florence. Florence, you're next on Sports Radio WEI. Florence, Italy, John?
No, Florence, Mass. We're in liberal Western Mass.
Boy, that's way out there. Where is that near? Pittsfield?
No. That's right near Smith College and UMass.
Oh, Northampton. Oh, Northampton. I didn't know there was a Florence out there. Very good.
I just want to say my dad and I are Dodger fans, and we're listening to you guys talk about how the Red Sox can't do what they did last year. The closers, I don't know about that, but all their pitchers were hurt. I mean, Sale didn't make it through the year. Price didn't make it through the year. Now he's got confidence. I mean, they could do just as well as they did last year.
Right. And the Dodgers bullpen certainly imploded in that fourth game, which really was the decisive game of the World Series.
Signing Kershaw for all that money after his postseason performance.
Yeah, John, what do you think about that? Another 3 years with Kershaw at that kind of money?
I know. Well, he's going to come through. You know, they said the same thing about Price. He finally came through. Randy Johnson had a bunch of bad games before he finally won. Like, it's going to happen for the Dodgers. But if you'd have predicted it before the year, you'd have said the Dodgers were going to win. And then when they got to it, since they were there last year, you'd have, most people would have thought they could win from their experience. So, you know,
you had to be disappointed with the Dodgers' performance, though.
Yeah, I was disappointed. My dad was really disappointed. We always go to the games when they play the Mets or Yankees or Red Sox around here.
So how did you become a Dodger fan? Your father from Brooklyn or something?
Well, my dad's been a big Dodger fan, and my grandfather took his wife for their honeymoon to see the Polo Grounds to see the New York Giants play against the Brooklyn Dodgers.
I hope it wasn't the Bobby Thompson game. That would have been a terrible honeymoon. That's all I can say.
It was one of Jackie Robinson's first games.
Wow. Hey, how disappointed were you with Roberts?
We were really disappointed. I mean, we were really hoping they would win, and then we got to take it from all the Red Sox fans with our hats on, even when they lost.
Yeah, I would imagine it's usually safe to be a Dodger fan in the state of Massachusetts because you're obviously not playing the Dodgers very often, first time since 1916 in the postseason. But that must have been a little rough this past month, John. I appreciate the call. 617-779-7937 is the telephone. You know, that was funny that his grandfather took his grandmother on their honeymoon to a baseball game. Believe it or
it's
not.
It's like you taking your wife to Alcatraz.
No, get this. Believe it or not, my father took my mother on their honeymoon to a game at Fenway Park.
Well, you went to Alcatraz.
My mother read a book the entire time. She's not a baseball fan.
Did you take your wife to Alcatraz?
She took me to Alcatraz. I think the other way around, if you know what I mean. That was a nice metaphor for your honeymoon, huh? Let's go to San Francisco and go to Alcatraz. Unbelievable.
You can swim back.
Yeah, no one has ever made it from the Alcatraz, the rock, as they say, back to shore.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, except for Clint Eastwood, and what happened, if you remember that movie, Escape from Alcatraz, they didn't make it. They thought they were going to make it. They got out of the prison.
He made it. He didn't.
No, he didn't know, but maybe he did at the end. Did he make it at the end? Okay, maybe he's, of course, he's
Craig,
Clint
if he didn't, they said Escape from Alcatraz.
He's Clint Eastwood after all. Of course he made it. It's Clint. 617-779-7937. He found a chair. He found an empty chair in shore when he That's a little, never mind. Anyway, we're going to take a break.
Oh, that was terrible.
Well, as bad as your Shirley MacLaine reference.
I'll tell you one thing, I don't know if he can bring the chair out on the stage at this point.
Oh, boy. He's still doing movies. He's 87
He's got a new one coming out, The Mule.
He's 87 years old, and he's still, I mean, he's had an amazing career. I mean, I don't like his politics, but he is a great
director. Is he better as a director or an actor?
Better as a director. He's made better movies. The Unforgiven, Million Dollar Baby, two Academy Award winners, Letters from Iwo Jima, the movie Mystic River. He has done some great movies.
I wonder, as an actor, he can't get in any more fistfights now. It just wouldn't be.
No. I don't think he'd make it
valid.
I don't think he'd make it from Alcatraz to the shore in San Francisco.
Did you like
either.
His westerns?
I love his westerns. But can I take a break, please?
Oh, will you stop whining? What do we care? This is our last time in this studio.
Oh, so you just want to lap it up, absorb it, take
we'll
it
do
all
whatever
in.
We want to do.
Hang on to it, revel in it, bask
like
in it.
Charles Barkley said, "I'm an N-word from the 90s.
By the way,
I do whatever I want to
do. I just
want to
get out of here in time for Greg Dickerson is coming in here.
Oh, He's going to be 15 minutes late.
Oh, good. Then we can just keep on going. Wait a minute. What did you just say to me?
You'll be 15 minutes late.
Dickerson, his last show in the building, I thought he'd be here early in anticipation, eager.
Well, he wanted to arrive the way he came here in the first time.
617-77. So all you Dickerson fans out there, I hate to disappoint you. You're going to have to wait an extra 15 minutes for Greg's big arrival on his last show.
But Mike will be here.
That's reassuring. All right, we'll take a break. More of your calls coming up right after this.
Like, players don't like the Patriots because players don't really, outside of Tom Brady, really matter in New England. NBA players don't root against the Warriors. It is a player-driven system. Players, did you notice this? They loved the Seahawks. Wasn't about the system. It was about the player. Players, outside of Le'Veon Bell, love the Steelers. Players don't like New England. For the same reason, we're all a little afraid about robots and automation. It makes us unimportant.
That is the ever philosophical Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports. Somehow or another, the Patriots are good, but I don't necessarily lump them in with AI and technology and robots and science fiction. But apparently, Colin Cowherd does. I'm not quite sure what he was saying.
The robot was broken last week.
Definitely the wires were crossed for the New England Patriots as they lost to the Tennessee Titans and another ex-Pat, this time Mike Vrabel, 34-10. Probably will bounce back. There's a good bet they'll do it against the Jets, but two test games, two very, very important games. Get a much better read on where the Patriots are. Are they going to be the team that we saw in Tennessee against Minnesota Vikings at home? Probably not, but they could revert to their road warrior woes coming up against Pittsburgh in the following week. And that will be a very interesting game and probably a very decisive game, just like the Pittsburgh game Larry was last year. The Jesse James play, the touchdown that was not really determined a lot of what happened in the postseason, Patriots going on to the Super Bowl. If they had lost that game, they would have had to play in Pittsburgh instead. Now, they've had success way back in the early Brady era on the road, but generally speaking, it looks as if this Patriot team, if they're getting back to a Super Bowl, They're going to have to. I think they're going to have a home game. If they don't have a home game, they don't. Especially the AFC Championship game. If they don't have the AFC Championship game in Foxborough, I just can't see how they're going back to a Super Bowl. 617-779-7937. Susan is in Rhode Island. Hey,
Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you guys?
How's it going, Susan?
How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to say I enjoy listening to you.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
But she's probably driving, so we don't want her to put the phone up on to her ear.
No,
if she's
that's
driving.
True.
Yeah.
Yes, I am driving. I just wanted to say I nor my family or anybody that panics with the Patriots. Anybody who's a true, you know, New England fan, no matter what sport it is, we don't panic, and that's a true fan. So when you turn in the next morning and you hear all the national people going nuts, it's because they probably didn't watch. You know, they're not true fans, and it's their job to stir up emotion.
Well, no, not only are they not true fans, they're true enemies. They despise the Patriots, and they're waiting for their demise. You know, I'm sure, you know, Susan, think about the Yankees. What do you think about the Yankees?
Right, absolutely. We hate them in our family, right.
Right.
Just no excuse.
But Susan, if you sat and watched that game last week,
right?
How do you evaluate it? You can't evaluate it and be critical and still be a fan.
I can be. You know, they absolutely have, you know, work to get done. They had a bad game, and it's all, you know, we're spoiled. We're used to turning on. They automatically win, and you're discounting good teams. I'll be honest. There are great teams that you play against. You're not going to win every week. And that just speaks to how awesome they've been since my boys have been little. We rooted, you know, they're so spoiled. My 23-year-old has seen all these championships.
No. And we hold them, and certainly Brady, to a much higher standard. And normally a game, okay, you lost on the road. Teams lose in the National Football League on the road all the time. But it's startling to see it in November and to see such a drubbing. That was not a game that was really even close. It was not even as close as the score indicated. It was a much – they had total control, the Titans. Now, obviously, the Jets are not going to be able to repeat what the Titans did. The question is, can Pittsburgh do that? Can they go down to Miami, a place they very rarely ever win? Can they beat the Dolphins, a team that's far inferior to them on the road? All those questions have not been answered. And you're right, Susan. Of course you want to stand by your team. But as Larry said, I mean, we can't – We're not fans here. We watch the games and we try to be as objective as we can. And we're not going to come out of a game where the Patriots got completely folded, spindled, and mutilated and say, well, you know, that's just one game. I think there were signs there, Larry.
I always thought if you are a true fan, then you are honest about your team. That's all. It doesn't mean you just sit there and rubber stamp everything. If you're a true fan, it doesn't mean you can't be critical.
Now, here's a guy that very rarely ever goes the critical route. Danny and Quincy, you're next on Sports Radio WEI.
Danielson.
Yeah, I'm also driving, so hopefully I'm not coming through kind of funky on the
So what'd you think of your boy TB12 last week? He was looking pretty good, huh?
Yeah, well, the thing is that, you know, Larry always goes to his default position. It's the offensive line's fault. When in doubt, blame the offensive line. I don't think the offensive line has played that bad, to be honest with you, Larry.
How did they play last week?
I'm just asking you, can you please levy some criticism to the quarterback? He's not had a good year.
Okay, did you hear me say he went down too early? His throws were not accurate.
On the offensive line.
Pardon me?
Blame it on the offensive line all the time. And your partner never corrects you on that, so he's complicit in that.
I'm complicit.
I
love that. I'm complicit. I agree.
Is that a word, Craig? I don't know.
It's a great word. I love it.
All right.
Yeah.
So you are.
No, I would say this. I agree with Danny. We always agree. It's just that you're always screaming at me. You never listen. I do think, you know, the problem is, again, based on the previous call, we are conditioned to think that Brady is always going to play fantastic football. So when he does throw 5 touchdown passes in a game, of course, it's all Tom Brady. He's GOAT, the greatest of all time. But when he doesn't have a good game, the fallback, you're right. Reflexively, we always say it must be somebody else's problem. problem. The receivers aren't running the right routes. They don't know. They don't know the offense.
I don't think we said that.
Well,
I
you did blame the offensive line.
That's part of the problem. But we also said his passes weren't accurate. And he turtled a lot.
I didn't hear any of that in the first 2 hours.
Well, like then you were bringing your trees in from outside.
Again, I'm not listening, I guess, Larry. But, you know, the other factor, too, the team is fragmented. There's no way they can get over what happened in the offseason. And Tom Brady sits with McDaniels. They have their own little bubble going on the bench. And when you hear Belichick say, hey, go ask Tom. He's the quarterback. He's the guy that decides who he's going to throw to. When you hear that from Belichick, he's completely resigned from taking responsibility for the offense. That's it.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I thought it was Deflategate again.
No, that was the last time you heard. You're right, Larry. When remember that whole news conference, the first news conference before Belichick did a little research, he kept on saying, go ask Tom, go ask Tom. But that's he pulled that same thing last week. Go ask Tom. I mean,
That's the way Brady wanted it. That's the way Brady wanted it. He wanted his little Johnny Ola messenger boy, Josh McDaniels, to come back from taking his job so we can have him as the go-between to the head coach. The fragment, I mean, it's a miracle they're 7-3. A miracle. And, you know, the defense, and I'll put some blame on the defense. You know, all I hear is the way to get to Tom Brady and disrupt this game is through rushing up the middle, putting pressure on him. Why doesn't that same philosophy, according to the pundits who cover the team, apply to the Patriots defense?
Because they don't have anybody to do that.
No, but it's always about Malcolm Butler not playing. That's one cornerback in the secondary. It has nothing to do with the lack of a pass rush. They haven't had a pass rush since I can remember.
And by the way, let me ask you a question. If Malcolm Butler was so bad that he couldn't even play in a Super Bowl, why didn't they just go after Malcolm Butler the whole game? They never even went to him. Hogan was completely invisible in that entire game.
You'll have to go ask Tom.
Seriously, no one's brought that up.
There were people that saying that Hogan was wide open. He didn't go and look at him. He didn't look at him.
Well, I don't know why.
Say that Brady's got his club. It's the Tom Brady Receiver Acceptance Club, otherwise known as T-Brack.
Yeah, but why? That makes no sense.
You get throws. If you're not, you're not. And by the way, the first drive of the game got blown up. You know, Gordon dropped two passes. I'm not going to put Brady on. That's not on Brady.
Right.
He dropped two passes on that opening drive.
He did.
And the special teams gave up that opening kickoff.
Right.
Put the defense, the offense had 7-0. They were down before you could sit down in the chair and have a sandwich, Larry. Again, they're playing from behind. It's not helpful. So, I don't know, but I still think the underlying factor is the team is fragmented. There's dissension on the team. I don't know if Brady's, hearts into it. I really don't. I don't.
Well, where's Josh McDaniels and all this?
What do you mean, where is he?
He deserves a lot of blame, but nobody mentions him.
No, but why? I
just did. You know.
Well, okay, but maybe you're the only one, Larry.
And why do they think they have to dial up these trick plays constantly? Especially, don't they know that Tom Brady
was working?
At least this time he caught it. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, he had an intentional grounding. At least it wasn't from the end zone. Okay? He's making progress. He's making progress.
You will never, ever let that one go, the second Giant game. Let's check in with Tony in Bridgewater, who's next on Sports Radio. Hey, Tony.
How do you follow that up? I agree with most of his points, to be honest with you.
I figured you would.
Yeah. I want to go back to the show a little bit. If I'm banned for that morning show with Minahan, but I'll tell you.
Well, he's not there anymore, so you don't have to worry. You're free and clear.
I don't care about that.
I ask you a question? Why would you be banned? What could you possibly have said that got you banned from that show?
Well, me and him went at it about Remy there. He was saying that Remy should be fired at the time when he was going through the thing with his son.
Right.
I called the show and I said, hey, no one's calling here saying your father should be fired because, you're a dope. You know, and we went at it a little bit. But, Kurt's a bully, but one thing he was is entertaining.
Well, that's part of the deal. And don't use past tense. Radio.com.
No, I understand. But if the radio show's smart, I remember, they brought Dale back. They brought Ordway back. But if I'm the show, if they want to be number one, I open a checkbook up for Holly because I think him and Jerry would be awesome together in the morning.
I think he'd be doing a heck of a lot better than he's doing with that show at night.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, that's a difficult spot. I mean, he's taking
the
money.
I'm not blaming him for it. Yeah. I'm just saying the show, nobody watches it.
I'm saying if they want to make some noise. Larry, no one wants to listen to Dickerson. Like, every time he comes on, he mentions Abby Chin, like, on and on. This guy's a bore, you know?
But what do you really think, Tony? Don't hold back.
I'm just telling the truth. And if they want to, you know, do it, I've been a loyal listener for 25 years. And Hawley, to me, was like, he was entertaining with the knowledge, too. He's got his own ideas, and I think it would be a great show.
Well, be an interesting political conversation with Michael Hawley, but I think Michael made a decision. You know, he wasn't pushed out here. He made a decision. He wanted to leave radio, opted for television. That's where he is. I would be very surprised. Again, I don't have any inside information on that.
I miss Mike on the radio.
He's a very talented guy. Good. Yep.
Yeah, very talented guy. But good show, you guys. I hope they extend you guys a little more. Put you on the 12 or 1 on Saturday.
The Pope just awoke, too.
617-779-7937. We'll take one more before the break. Our buddy down in Mattapan, John, what do you got for us today?
Hey, John.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Happy holiday. In my estimation, it's pretty clear to me and probably to most of the people that are listening to my voice that it's not Tom Brady's heart that's not into it. It's Mr. Kraft's money. Come on, guys. Call it what it is. So... Now, Craig, you there?
I'm right here. I'm all ears.
Do you think Kraft's calling the shots now?
Say again?
You think Robert Kraft is calling the shots now?
I'm talking about how he's putting the money into the team, Larry. Unfortunately, like I was trying to say to Craig the last time he cut me off and didn't allow me to finish my point,
I am
not so much offended by Mr. Kraft's mode of operation. I was one of the people that used to sit around on Friday and wonder whether or not we were going to see the game on Sunday. I wasn't, in a sense, trying to disparage.
What are you talking about, the old blackout days when they couldn't sell out?
I was one of those people, Craig. So I love Mr. Kraft just as much as anybody, and I'm thankful for him as much as anybody you know.
All right, so what's the problem now? What's the problem with Bob Kraft now?
I'm trying to say to you, Craig, that what is insulting to me is the fact that Mr. Kraft can operate the way he does because of the rules that are set up that allow owners to just work around the true assessment of how much the owners are paying the players. If Mr. Kraft today, right now, is running the lowest payroll in the NFL. We don't know, Craig, and no one does but a select group of people.
No, they're not the lowest payroll.
Again and again and again. You don't know.
Okay,
you can go to site. You can go to site to get a good idea.
Hey, John, just go look it up. The Patriots do not have the lowest.
Craig, listen to me. I'm not going to waste my time and everybody else's time listening to you, exercise your right as one of these, as the Shanks says, one of the cartel. Because it's obvious to me now, Craig.
I'm a member of the cartel.
Absolutely. You took the pill. Big O took the pill. That's how it is.
What am I? Where do you park your car when you go to the games, Craig? What am I, drinking the Kool-Aid for Bob Kraft and the New England Patriots? I don't think anybody would accuse me of that. Listen,
No, you're just a drug mule, apparently.
I think that Bob Kraft right now, unfortunately, I think for the future of the Patriots as Tom Brady's career winds down, he has sided with Tom Brady over Bill Belichick, and there has been a feud within the organization, and I think Bob Kraft has made it abundantly clear what side he's on. I think that will ultimately hurt the team over the next couple of years.
Now, you go to the third floor to enter Mr. Kraft's box, or how do you get up there?
Listen, Bob Kraft's a very nice man. He's been an excellent owner. Is he a perfect owner? No.
None of them are.
But the guy's won 5 Super Bowls. And, John, you want to go back to the reason why you had to wonder about if the games were going to be shown on Sundays because no one cared. It was the worst franchise in football. When NBC, back in the days when NBC had the AFC contract, they'd send the worst team, the NBC broadcast team. No one showed up. You walk in, there were 30,000 people there, which meant there were 30,000 empty seats.
Now, where would you like to sit?
Okay, I mean, the greatest thing that ever happened in this sports town was the in January of 1994 when Bob Kraft took over this team. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But to sit here, John, and claim that he's cheaping out, that he's not spending the kind of money, how more successful can an organization be? They're probably the most successful NFL franchise in the history of the game. And, John, you worried about Bob Kraft not spending a lot of money? I think there's a little undercurrent there, if
I mean,
you know what I mean.
You can question that some of their drafts.
No,
and
this
stuff,
is an undercurrent. There's an undercurrent there. You know
but
what
not,
I'm talking about.
The way Bob Kraft has operated.
All right. We're going to take a break. More of your calls coming up. James and Dickerson. This is the penultimate show, second to last. The ultimate show, the final go-round at 20 Guest Street, happens at high noon. Mark James and a little bit later with Greg Dickerson right here on Sports Radio WEEI. And thank you, Tex Ritter.
Game day coming to BC is like Greg Dickerson showing up to a Saturday show.
Whoa, another hot take from the king of all Boston media. You can't stop him.
Afraid of mice, though.
Only hope to contain him.
He was right about BC getting trounced, though.
It is the ultra-talented, the supremely gifted. Just ask him. Mark James coming up at High Noon. You want to go into the High Noon theme song one more time for us?
Do not forsake me, oh my darling.
Now, is that the Frankie Lane or the Tex Ritter version?
I love Frankie Lane.
Yeah, Frankie Lane had a hit with it. When we had this big controversy, I thought it was Frankie Lane, too. But in the movie, which is one of the great movies of all time, I actually read a book about the making of High Noon. It was Tex Ritter, John Ritter's father, who sang the theme song.
Do you know the man who shot Liberty Valance by Gene Pitney? They never used the song in the movie?
They don't use it in the movie, John Ford? Nope. But a native of Rockville, Connecticut, right around the corner from my hometown, the Rockville Rocket. And his great contribution to rock lore was...
Who was that?
Darlene Love and the Crystals. He's a rebel. He actually wrote that song.
You're talking about Billy Crystal?
No. Gene Pitney.
Oh, I love
Gene
him.
Pitney.
Tom Without a Pity.
Yeah. Billy Crystal. Oh, yeah. Darlene Love and the Crystals. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Tom Without Pity. Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, but his greatest song is the one he wrote for the Crystals. He's a rebel. 617-779-7937.
His music was great.
Nick in Weymouth, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI. What's going on, Nick?
No, it isn't very pretty with a Town Without Pity.
I'll tell you, I could go on and on. We could do a whole show dedicated to Gene Pitney's greatest hits.
Quick thing, last week's game. I'm talking about Tom's Brady's reaction time. There was a play. I call it not really a T formation. There's no fullback involved, but Brady's in the middle. Just to his right is Patterson. Just to his left is White. They both go parallel on a line of scrimmage, to the – there was two blockers waiting for Pattinson because they probably took a head fake from Brady looking at that, and they know he does that sometimes. So no one was over there. You're probably looking at a – 20, 30-yard, maybe a touchdown. I saw what I'm saying is on a large TV, I saw no defenders there. It was just the angle, though, because it faked me out. Anyways, he throws it to White. If you remember this play, he almost got destroyed. Remember that?
Yes, you mean the White White almost got destroyed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is
early in the game,
possible, it's just one play, but is it possible he's losing reaction time? When you get older... We've all seen this. You just don't have the reactions that you normally have. You get a little slow. That's all I'm saying.
Believe me, we all know that, but
trust
we don't.
Me, I have to ask my chair if I can get up.
That's mortal, man. We look at Tom Brady at 41 years old, and it's Tom versus time. Well, you know the cliche, time always wins, but maybe it's starting to happen. I am not completely sold as of yet. Okay, we're out of here. Mark James has arrived. Dickerson will show up sooner or later. This is our final show. Any last parting words for this wonderful studio, Larry?
Wait a minute. There he is.
There's Mark James, the man, the myth, the legend.
You were right about Boston College because I was going to rip you apart this week.
Oh, come on. The pink hats can go back. They can go away. By the way, Larry, can I just thank you on one thing? I'm glad you acknowledge my existence because I thought we got Greg Dickerson's publicist over here and Craig Musser. Oh, Greg Dickerson's coming up.
By the way, could you use a different finger when you're pointing to me?
Greg Dickerson's coming up. Greg Dickerson's coming. He can't even show up on time to his own show.
Hey, when are you going to work with Callahan?
Hopefully so.
Wait a minute. Chad Finn says that you're moving into the weekday slot. Did you see that piece yesterday in the Globe? Mark James moving. Rumored.
What?
Yeah.
Would you pretend to not see it.
Oh, no. Come on.
You definitely saw it.
I swear to God, no. I didn't see this. Hey,
it's framed on your fridge already.
You should see his eyes. His eyes just lit up. He just did a somersault.
Would you do the article?
It's right here somewhere. Yeah. It says Mark James is rumored to be sliding into a weekday slot sometime soon.
Would you do the morning?
I want to know more, sir. What do you mean? Don't play dumb with me.
Would you do the morning show?
Of course.
Listen.
Wow.
All right, we got to go. We have a meeting with Joey. We're going to go take a look at the new digs. Mark, you have the honor of doing the very last live show at 20 Guest Street, maybe with Greg Dickerson.
We'll see if he shows up.
Yeah, we shall find out.
There's a rat in here too, but I think he went behind the cabinet.
Yeah, by the way,
what sword
are
we doing here on a weekend?
Thanks
to John Anderson on the other side of the glass. I'll see you next week. Bye.